Ryan, how much can Matt Barnes help during a week like this preparing for Maryland, you know, given the fact that he was there last year and had such a big role on their staff as well?
Yeah, no, he did an unbelievable job in a tough spot last year and very sharp. Had his hands on defense, special teams, everything like that. But it's a very whole new crew over there. Can help with personnel, but a lot of the personnel's changed too. So, you know, a little bit, but not all that much.
You talked a lot about Justin Fields' toughness, and I'm sure you knew he was tough before you guys played any games. You can't play quarterback at this level and not be tough. Did it take until the game started until you knew how tough he was? Because I'm sure he wasn't hit very much in the preseason. Like, when did you learn that he is, like, ultra tough, I guess?
I think once you, for a quarterback, it's hard because you're never live, so you don't know those type of things. You don't know competitively how tough guys are until you get into those situations. And there was times during the season where you started to recognize that more and more. I thought the Nebraska one, he took a shot where the guy launched right into his chest and even into his head, and the next play threw a fade to Garrett for a touchdown, and signs like that of toughness.
Second row left, all
right. Ryan, when you last year decided to recruit Enoch in Hawaii and, you know, other recruits out there, and that, when you're considering taking this program into Hawaii for recruiting, do you have to consider other things besides just how far it is? I'm talking like finances, and I mean, it's just, it's part of America, but it's so far away. I just don't know, like, what the discussions are, if there's other discussions outside of let's go to California, Florida, Texas, and everywhere else.
Yeah, that's a big part of the conversation, and we obviously want our you know, foundation of recruiting to be right here, but then, you know, we go out throughout the entire country to look to find the best players in the country. And the United States and the globe has gotten smaller every year based on just the internet and the computer and everything, travel. And so these guys nowadays are just so much more in tune with all the different schools that are within the country, and guys are traveling. And you look at the guys who have come from Hawaii, you know, and Tua and Marcus and, you know, a lot of guys. And, you know, we have several guys from the area. You know, Haskell Garrett grew up there and Enoch's from there. And so, and they've done a great job assimilating here and they love it. And so the more guys that we see come from remote areas who do well, then we continue to work on that. But we also know the challenges that come with it.
Somebody there or to continue. And I remember last year before signing day, didn't you take a flight all the way to Hawaii and
right,
come back like the next 4 hours later or something? Yeah, crazy like that. Like, what do you have to consider as a program in terms of time that could be spent recruiting other players? And you know what I mean?
Just, yeah,
like,
it's all taken into consideration. Long conversations about, is it worth it? You know, conversations about, is there interest on both sides? Do we think that it's worth it to go all the way out there to go see somebody and evaluate them? But yeah, those are not things that we come to lightly. We take a lot of time to go through that and make sure that it is worth it, like you're saying, because there's a time and financial investment in that.
Second row middle, Bruce.
So I'm looking at the Maryland game last year, and they score 7 touchdowns and 51 points, and they rush for 3 times something. And I know you're an offensive coordinator last year, and I'm just wondering, during that, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Anything at all? Because you got your own deal. But, like, what are you thinking?
Hard to remember exactly at the time what I was thinking. But that was a wild game. And I remember that was a big game for Dwayne in terms of establishing himself as a runner. If you remember, I think he ran like 12 or 13 times. I thought that was, yeah, it was you know, tough game for him. And we actually threw a pick six in that game and had to come down on a 2-minute drill. I remember it being crazy, that's for sure. But it was one of those back and forth games, and you know, it seemed like who had the ball last would win. And I remember the fourth down conversion to Rashad. That was a huge deal, and some guys made some. Terry McLaurin had a great game, and but it was a back and forth game. And sometimes when you get to this time of year, there's some wacky games out there, and you have to adapt on the move.
So 7 touchdowns and 51 points, and this year in 5 Big Ten games, you've given up 5 touchdowns and 38 points, and it's the same guys. It's Werner and Borland and Harrison and the same D-line and the same secondary. And I just wonder if you can help me and us understand, how can that defense be this defense?
I think there's a lot of things. There's a lot of different, you know, in terms of maturity, these guys are all a year older, and they're that's all changed. The scheme has changed. You know, I mean, so there's a lot that goes into it. The offenses we're seeing are different. You know, this team's hungry. I mean, I think they all really enjoy playing with each other, and you know, I think that it's a conversation that would take more than just one answer. You know, on why so far to this point, you know, they played at this level, but they got to bring it every week now, and it's going to be the same thing, and it's only as good as you played the last week. So The challenge is going to continue, and every team that comes out there is going to want to score points and prove that they can move the ball against our defense. So, again, new challenge this week. They're dangerous. They got athletes. They're well coached. They got good scheme. So, another challenge for us.
Is it a conversation where the answer is just outside the code of a football coach like yourself saying, we were playing the wrong scheme, or we were playing too complex of a scheme for our guys? I'm sure you're sensitive to that because you don't want to light up guys who were here before. But from the outside looking in, the explanation is hard to find on anything other than that.
I think there's a lot that goes into it. I don't think it's as simple as that. But, and again, I think so much of it has to do with, you know, a bunch of guys who sat around for a whole off season and, you know, heard that, you know, they struggled and they came in with something to prove, and they worked really hard in the off season, got bigger, stronger, really dove into the defense and created great relationships with the coaches, and now they're playing at a high level.
Or you're correct, Clint.
College football playoff bowl comes out tonight. You'll take note of that. How important is it where you are in the first one, and what's the message once it comes out?
I think it's for the fans. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to us, because if we lose this weekend, we're not going to be in the top four, that's for sure. So what matters is where we're at once we're done with the season, the regular season. So none of that really matters to us.
Aren't you a little curious?
Not really, no. Because, again, it doesn't matter if we don't continue to win, then what matters is the record at the end of the season or where you're ranked at the end. So that does not matter to us.
Right front, Tom?
8 games into the season, Coach, what's your biggest concern right now? I mean, obviously, you got 4 games to go in the regular season, but what do you guard against now?
Well, I think that at this time of the season, you're in November, and crazy things can happen. So we have to continue to stay focused on the things that have got us to this point, and the discipline, the toughness, taking care of the football, tackling, because you know, kids are impressionable in nowadays, and you know, everybody wants instant gratification. And at this point of the year, only thing that works is continuing to go back to the things that have worked. And we just can't get bored with that. We have to continue to embrace that, understand how important it is, and that's a huge part of being tough, is being disciplined enough to do the same things week in and week out and not fray from that, or stray from that, excuse me, and start to fray as a team. So that's the focus, and that's the coaches and the leaders and everybody involved in the program to make sure we stay locked in on that.
You really hound them now, because there's some big games looming. We can all read the schedule, but do you hound them like, hey guys, you got to stay in the moment?
Oh yeah, for sure. But again, if you're where we're at right now and you're undefeated at this point of the season, they're all big. And if you don't think they're big, try losing one. We'll see how that goes. I mean, they're all big. So we got to stay locked in on today's practice. We got to stay locked in on this week, and then we go from there.
Third row, right, Rod.
Brian, big time college athletics has gotten to the point where almost like fun is a dirty word, and yet this team seems to really enjoy what they're doing. And I know winning has a lot to do with that. Camaraderie has a lot to do with that. But how do you foster that? Do you have to remind yourself at times that this is a game and that they're supposed to have fun? And moving forward, how do you balance that? Is that an objective, to enjoy what you're doing?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think there's a flow to that, where what I mean by that is at different times of the season, fun is different. So when you're having a mat drill at 5 a.m. on a March 15th or something like that, or you're having a preseason meeting at 8 o'clock at night on August 7th, you know, like, you can find ways to make that fun for the guys. And we always want to make sure that those guys always leave here wanting more, and they enjoy coming through the building, and they feel confident about their relationships here, and it's an environment where they feel safe and want to come in and have fun every day and enjoy that. This time of year, fun's a little different. Fun is winning, you know, and fun is being part of a team and working towards a goal and working through adversity and those type of things, and not silly, goofy fun. You know, there's a difference, you know, and so we've worked hard to get to ourselves to this point, and we owe it to each other to make sure we're locked in on that.
To plan that, I mean, is that something that's just your personality? I know, you know, a few years ago there was the grind, which that doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but not to knock that, but is that who you are, or is it something that you, when you look at your strategy, that you actually work that in?
Well, I think, you know, you can go through this profession and this life and to go through seasons, and all of a sudden you wake up in 10 years and you realize maybe you didn't have any fun, and you have to do that. You have to wake up and smell the roses and enjoy what you're doing, and that's a big part of it. I don't think that's right now, though. You know, where we're at, we've worked hard to get to this point. Now we got to stay locked in, and it is time to grind. It is very serious now. But that's why you pay it ahead. You know, you pay it forward, and that's why in preseason camp, you know, we'd almost start every meeting here with guys dancing and having fun and doing those type of things, because you want those guys to realize that this is a place where they can really enjoy it, and they love coming to the building every day, and if you're vested into it that way and you like that, you're gonna show up with energy, you know, then I think it makes for a better environment.
All right, Tim?
Yeah, following up a little bit on that, Ryan, about the CFP tonight, though, is there a sense of pride that y'all have put yourselves in the conversation, if you follow my drift? I mean, that you are there, it's there, if you take care of business, do you reinforce that with your team, too?
Yeah, and in the team meeting, I said, congratulations, you're relevant in November. I mean, there's something to be said for that, absolutely. That's where you want to be right now in November, is be relevant, and we are. So that's good, but the rankings and all that stuff, you know, really shouldn't be any of our focus.
Another thing, as you look at Maryland just defensively, what is different about them this year that you can explain to the folks at LC on Saturday that's caught your eye?
Yeah, they have a combination of, four down, three down, kind of like a lot of people do, but they give you a lot of different looks. And I thought they played one of their better games last week. They were running around. They were playing really hard. Even when they got down a few scores, guys were still playing really, really hard, running to the ball. They're similar to last year in a little bit of their structure, but a whole new scheme in terms of, you know, the coaches that are involved with it. Good players, and again, they're playing hard, and I thought they're getting better as the season's going on.
You know, your players are humans. How do you keep them on the right track from the standpoint of a lot of people are saying this is going to be easy. What is your message to them? You know, 44 point favorite. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, you're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-old, young men who you got to make sure you're on top of them, and you're talking to them constantly about those things. It's a daily thing. You know, it's not something we just have a canned message for the week. You know, we approach every day the best we can. You walk in every day, and something may have changed. You know, just with the way that the team's operating and the feel of the team, the personality, how are they practicing, what's going on, how's the leadership, and you just keep working out on a daily basis, and you keep addressing it from there.
Front row, middle right, Joey.
Ryan, there was an ESPN survey that came out, which interviewed all the Power 5 coaches, and they asked if you were in favor of playoff expansion or not. You were in the group that was in favor of expansion. Could you maybe elaborate on kind of what you would like to see from expansion long term?
I don't think now's the time to really get into all that, but I do believe that if you win your conference, then you should get in to some sort of playoff. But I'd rather not get into all that. I think that's a great conversation for the offseason.
And just looking at switching gears here, looking at the season Chase has had, he's talked about this before, but last season he had two ankle injuries, which kind of limited what he was able to do on the field and the ability to cut and that sort of thing. When you watch him this season, how much, I mean, it seems sort of obvious, but how much has that been a factor in his play this season, just not having two bad ankles?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it goes into it. Certainly having an injury, you know, slows you down, but then also being a year, you know, older, that matters. You know, I think when you get into that third year, you see guys like, JK and, Jeff Okuda, you know, different guys have really taken off in that third year. And I think there's a little bit of the injury and a little bit of being in their third year.
Far left, Lori.
Coach Day, we've talked a lot about getting players out of a game, watching for injury, getting them rest. But is practice enough for these guys to stay sharp, or do they need a certain amount of reps in a game? Do they need to stay in a certain amount of time for them to maintain the sharpness that you want?
That's a great question. I think that guys need to play, and they need to play in games for sure. And every game we go into, we're ready to take the thing into the fourth quarter, win a game in the fourth quarter, and play 60 minutes, and we go from there. We try not to think too far ahead of that, because then we start getting ahead of ourselves. So that's it. The same thing is going to happen this week. Guys are going to be ready to roll. They're going to play, and they're going to play 60 minutes, and we're going to win the game in the fourth quarter and go from there.
Are you a guy that keeps track of numbers during a game? You see J.K. with 199, will you try to get him 200, or is that a factor at all when you're thinking of playing?
Rarely will that be something that we take into consideration. If you're into that type of scenario in a game, it's really about what's best for the team and what's best for the individual in terms of keeping them healthy.
Third row right, Dylan.
As you enter into November and the stretch run, do you sense there's a heightened sense of urgency with your team? Is that something you even want to see, or do you kind of just want to go status quo, like a machine moving forward, weekend and weekend?
A little bit of both. I mean, you want some consistency. You want to keep that same routine in place. But I think as the weeks go on and we continue to do well, I think there's more and more at stake, and I think the guys feel that.
I'm sorry. Front row left, Doug.
You guys have worked Garrett Wilson in some spots in the return game. He's had a role offensively with receiver. When you have any player like that, I know your goal is win Saturday and that's it, and you want to have players who can help you win on Saturday. But is there also some kind of like development plan for a career for a guy like that? Like, hey, we think Garrett Wilson, for instance, can really help us when he's a sophomore and when he's a junior. Therefore, we think as a freshman, this is what would be best for him as he tries to be a good player when he gets older. How do you factor any of that in with an individual player to what you're trying to do as a team right now?
Yeah, I think you try to get guys ready to play as soon as possible. And some guys come in at mid-year, some guys come in there in the summer, and so there's a little bit of a learning curve there. But for the most part, you know, when someone comes as a freshman, their ability level is at a certain level, and then their skill and disciplines at another level. And so we try to bring guys along as fast as possible. But in our program, there's so much time that's put in the off season, so that when you get into year two, when you get into year three, you have such more vested into the program, and you also have an advantage because physically, understanding the scheme, just the whole thing, leadership-wise, you've been through off seasons with Coach Mick in the off season. That all matters, and it also matters within the program too. And so, you know, guys who have been here for a while, they have the right to have the, you know, the first shot at things. And then as guys start to earn their stripes, they start to earn more and more. And I think that's the way an organization should work.
You and Mike Locksley, this is not unusual for coaches. You have lots of experience working with quarterbacks. Guys like that, when you are recruiting quarterbacks, the fact that you and Coach Locksley and other people have coached that position specifically, how does that help you in recruiting quarterbacks or in developing quarterbacks when you, as the head coach, are kind of a quarterback person?
I think when you're recruiting somebody and they understand that the head coach is involved with that position, I think it matters because they understand that it's going to be friendly that way, and you're going into a situation where the head coach isn't a defensive coach, where you know, the quarterback maybe doesn't get as much attention or consideration, I guess. But certainly when the head coach has a quarterback background, that is going to be taken into consideration, and it's, I guess, quote-unquote quarterback friendly, for lack of another term. But I think it does matter because, you know, you're going in there as the head coach with a background and, you know, a resume of work with quarterbacks. And I think today's day and age, recruits want to see that. They want to know, what have you done? It's one thing to say something. It's another thing to show them what you've done. And then you combine that with, you know, with the position coach, I think it makes a big deal.
And last thing, we've been talking a lot about the Maryland game last year. Coming off that Maryland game last year, you guys go out and beat Michigan, and you win the Big Ten championship. You go and win the Rose Bowl. Did you feel like, as an assistant on that staff, was that like a line in the sand of like, man, like, we can't live like this anymore? You know, like, we were maybe lucky in some ways to win that game. You gutted it out, but it also, if the two-point play goes a different way, you lose that game. Did that feel like, what did that feel like just coming off a nail-biter like that, because you guys responded and beat three good teams to end the season last year?
Well, I mean, I think on offense, what it allowed us to do was, I think Dwayne at that point established himself as a runner, and he was a little bit more of a threat, and I thought that changed us on offense a little bit. As a team, I mean, I think as a team, we were always going and looking to attack, but I thought to go into that game and win in two-minute drills, red zone, I mean, there was just a lot of situations going on right there, short yardage, overtime. You know, you just learn a lot about your team in a game like that. You got to gut it out. And I thought that kind of, as tough as that game was, it catapulted us through the rest of the season, like you're saying.
Front row right, Bill?
Yeah, Damon Arnett's story has been told quite a bit this year, how he was one step out the door. When you evaluate what he has done this year, what stands out to you the most?
I think it's so cool when you see somebody walk down a hallway and tell you the best decision I made was coming back, and he tells people around the facility that he loves them. And I think that just goes to show you how much he put into this program. And he got his degree this summer, and you know, to play the way he's played and to put the work in, and then see all that stuff, you know, show up on the field and everything that he put in the off season. On and off the field to get to where he is right now, but then also play at a high level. It's a success story, you know, one of many here at Ohio State, but really proud of the way he's approached it, and the strides he's taken in the last year has been unbelievable, and it's all well-deserved because he put a lot into it.
And you're going to be playing against one of your former players, Keandre Jones, plays for Maryland, played pretty well. Sounds like that was a very... You know, no friction, no problem with him. What would you want to say about Keandre and the success he's had at Maryland?
Yeah, it's great to see him playing with a lot of passion and effort, and you know, nothing but respect for he and his family. And got an opportunity to go closer to home, and so you know, we supported that the best we could. Certainly didn't want to see him leave, but we also understand, and I'm glad that things are working out for him.
Second row left, Matt.
Lajman mentioned the Maryland game last year and the defense, and Bruce was bringing up the points that he gave up. Does that come up? You talk about the defense playing with a chip on their shoulder all year. Does a week like this reinforce it? Do they go into this game going, man, look what happened last year? Do you sense, even though it's a game that you're favored heavily on, a feeling on the defense and going into this game like, let's show where we've come from here?
I think so. Yeah, I think they know how dangerous the running game is, and they know. I mean, it was only a year ago that they played against them, and McFarland ran for 300 yards. So they know that, and I don't think they're proud of that, and they want to do a better job this time around for sure.
Kind of off topic, but this game's going to be over, you know, 3 o'clock or whatever. There's a huge game, LSU Alabama. How does Ryan Day unwind after a game? Hopefully you win or whatever, and you're sitting down. If there's a big game, you sit down and, hey, don't bother me, I want to watch this, or you're a fan, will you take that in? I'm just curious.
I've said this before, one of my favorite things to do is after a noon win, go home, sit in a recliner with the family, order food, and watch games. And I love that. That's some of my favorite memories. We get home in the car, the family gets it together in the car, we turn up the music real loud after a win. We drive up 315. We get home. We relax, sit on the couch, enjoy each other, turn the fire on, and watch games. Like, that's like, if you talk about being happy, that's me being happy on a Saturday afternoon. So, yeah, whatever game's on, we'll watch it, and hopefully that's the case on Saturday.
You mentioned your admiration for Joe Burrow. Watching a game like that that he's playing in, does it give you more of a rooting interest, or do you just kind of take it back?
I've enjoyed watching Joe on TV, but also even watching his film and seeing what they're doing throwing the ball. They're doing a great job. He's doing a great job leading. You can tell he's doing a great job preparing, and he's gonna finish the year the right way. You can tell they're in a good place.
Front row left, Nathan.
You know, last year the Maryland game was one of, I guess, several examples where you came out of it thinking there's things that have to be fixed with this defense. This year, this defense is giving you maybe a quarter's worth of concern, maybe sometimes, for the most part, it's shutting people down. How are you guys, I guess, holding this team accountable at a different standard, or are you finding new ways to try to test this defense in a way that you didn't have to last season?
It's all about how you coach, in my opinion. You know, I mean, what are you holding guys accountable to off of film? Is it just the results, or are you really holding guys accountable to executing on both sides of the ball, offense, defense, special teams? And, you know, there's certain times we have talented guys where guys can get away with talent. That's not good, and we can't allow that to happen. And some of the worst experiences in the human experience is to get rewarded for bad behavior. And when we see it on film, we got to address it. And the players have to be open to that. Even though maybe a play went well, that's not what we want here. So we have to hold them to that standard, and that's really good coaching and really good leadership.
Is this something you saw guys buying into right away? Was there some, like, growth?
We've been talking about it for a long time. So, yeah.
And final couple questions. Second row right, Tony.
Brian, you've got some fifth-year guys who have key roles on this team, but aside from the games, what do those fifth-year guys, what's it like to have them? How important is it to have those guys every year?
Well, I think they bring a maturity level that's off the charts, and I think that the work ethic and the investment they've put into this place and the seriousness, they know what it's supposed to look like, is huge. And their ability to step up and challenge some of the younger guys, get up in front of the team, talk to the team, that's when you go from good to great. But if you want to make a run in November, you need to have those older guys who have been around, who take control of the team.
Do you think the transfer portal is going to take some of that away, even though you'll be maybe adding more fifth-year seniors? They haven't put the 5 years in with you. Do you think that's going to alter things?
Maybe a little bit, but I don't think it's going to drastically change anything.
And final questions for everyone, right, Austin?
Ryan, how would you – obviously the offense is scoring points, but I'm just looking at the passing attack and you lean towards the quarterbacks and throwing it. What are your – are you satisfied with the passing attack right now? Do you want more down the stretch? How do you view that at this point?
I think it's all based on game plan and what we're seeing. We obviously want to balance, and last week, you know, it was raining sideways, and we still had to be able to throw the ball, especially at the end of the first half there. I thought that kind of got us going. But always tough to work on, you know, in the run game and the pass game. But we always want to balance there. And so still every week, every time we watch film, there's things to improve on. And we're working at that.
There haven't been as many balls to go around for the wide receivers, and they rotate as it is. You referenced this earlier in the year that it might come. Like, are you still getting guys trying to knock on the door and ask for more chances? How do you manage that? That can be a tricky position to do.
Yeah, I know it can. And when we look back at last year, we had six guys that kind of rolled, and it all worked out well for all of those guys. And so we just continue to do that. And when you have your opportunity, you got to make them count. And you look at other schools throughout the country. You know, they don't have maybe as an explosive as offense as we have, and we try to do the best we can to get those guys out in space. It's an unbelievable offense to play in. Those guys need to buy in it. When they have their opportunity, they got to go. And at this time of the year, you know, they can't let their egos get in the way. That's just what it comes down to. And I thought last year was a great example of that. When you look at Terry and Paris and Johnny, I mean, not one time did they ever say, we need more touches, you know. And I think Terry had 35 total catches last year, which is amazing because of look what he's doing now. And so he could have been in my office every week complaining. He didn't. But it all worked out for him. And it all works out for these guys in the end if we continue to do well as a team.
And Austin Mack had that really impressive drive against Northwestern and then didn't play against Wisconsin. When he comes out, what does that do? How does that shuffle the pieces around at wide receiver?
Just another guy has to step up, yeah. Or we maybe get a few more targets for one other guy who, you know, if somebody goes down. But Jameson's kind of stepped up into that role and done a nice job.
Great. Coach, thank you very much.
Thanks.